Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord I beat the case. That man be calling, I don't do no.
It is Monday, November 6th, 9 a.m. You try to have this show out by 10. 10:30 is my hard deadline here, Chris. But we get it out in the morning, every morning by 10:30. If you're not already on Patreon, we have a custom RSS feed on Patreon. So the minute the show's out, boom, it's on your phone. I mean, instantly. You don't have to wait for iTunes or Spotify. Sometimes they take an hour, 2 hours. Yeah. I mean, they're crazy how long they take.
They got to clear it, do all this other shit. It just takes so long.
And so if you want a custom RSS feed, $5 a month, you get a custom RSS feed, all our shows, plus our Menace to Pick shows, plus any bonus shows, everything's on there. VIP access, patreon.com/menacetosports. Wanted to drop that first just because a couple people messaged me about it. So I figured I'd just announce it on here. Also, if you didn't play, we have four opportunities left. We have our squares for charity game, right? You buy a square for $100. The winning score, last digit is at the top. The losing score, last digit's on the left. You match them up. You win $100 if it's a quarter, $125 at half, $300 at final score. We already obviously played five games, five championship games, a lot of people winners. So if you hit one score, you win your money back. We have 16 squares left. Would love to finish the board. We still have four games left, both semifinal games in the college football playoff, the national championship game, and Ohio State versus Utah in the Rose Bowl. So if you want to play along, chance to win some money, chance to support or donate to the Zone 6 Fund, which we've been talking about. Really excited about it. Had a couple meetings. We're going to start scholarshiping kids in January. We've already raised $70,000 since I announced it, which is like a month, right? So already $70,000 raised. We're gonna do some unbelievable things because of the support of some of you guys. So appreciate your support. If you want to support, go to just hit Venmo, Cameron Media, and buy a square, $100. We got 16 left. So also wanted to mention the podcast that contacted me about really telling you guys about it. It's called The Recount with LZ Granderson and Will Leach. It's about sports, culture, and politics. Go give it a listen. See if it's your thing. See if it's your vibe. I enjoyed the episode that I listened to when they hit me up. So check it out. It's called The Recount, everywhere podcasts are distributed. Before we get started on scholarship actual football, we got a shout out. The OSU club football team, which if you guys don't know about it, they're dominant. Like they are the Alabama of club football. It's a club football team, full pads, not flag. Now this is tackle football, and it's, you know, just regular college students that sign up to play, I guess. And then they have a coach. I mean, they have a coaching staff. Like it's a legit football team, back-to-back national champions. So shout out to the Bucks. At least one of the Buckeye teams is represented in the national landscape and bringing home some hardware. So shout out to them. But huge weekend, Chris. Huge. I mean, drama after drama. The conference championship games were outstanding. Alabama routes Georgia. If there's a team that could do it, it was them. Bryce Young sealed the Heisman Trophy up. Just an unbelievable weekend. Kenny Pickett was balling with his fake slide. And just a ton going on in the conference championship games. Before we get to that, huge news. Quinn Ewers enters the portal. The highest recruit in the history of recruiting is leaving Ohio State for either Texas Tech, TCU, or Texas, apparently.
It was insane, dog. What was that, Friday night? Yeah, because I was out with my boy Brad. And earlier, my phone starts getting some you know, a little bit of buzz, and then all of a sudden it just explodes. Like, me and you were touching base. Kind of talking to everyone I know, trying to figure out what the hell happened. And I thought it was interesting because for a while there, the quote-unquote beat writers were kind of blowing smoke at all of us, kind of, you know, blowing us off, saying, no, nothing to worry about. Quinn's happy. Quinn knew exactly what was going on, this, that. And then, you know, Pete Thamel, not Austin Ward or anyone from Letterman Row, breaks the story, and holy shit, the world catches on fire.
Well, here's the thing about that, and I was a part of one directly, is it's really fucked up when these national media guys break stories, because guys like Letterman Row and Buckeye Scoop, they have that information. Mm-hmm. They have it before Pete Thamel even sniffed it, right? But they are so loyal to the Ohio State and the coaching staff, where they get, you know, the source of most of their information is from within the building. So they're going to do whatever people inside the Woody Hayes facility ask them to do, like, hey, don't report this yet. And they won't report it because they want to keep that connection, keep that bond, right? And so they don't report it. They may hint it on message boards just so people, honestly, they do it just so people, when the news breaks, know, oh, they knew about it. They just couldn't tell us, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a whole nother story why you pay the money for someone to tell you, hey, there's news, but I can't tell you it. But this happened to me when Braxton Miller switched to receiver, right? Because obviously I knew about it first. Then Braxton and I went to Urban, told him about it, that Braxton wanted to switch. Then we made the switch. We started training. Well, Urban told Pete Thamel. He happened to be in town when this conversation happened. He brings Pete Thamel into my office and says, hey, we're gonna make this a big deal when Braxton wants to announce it. So I want you to give Pete a couple quotes. And then when we tell Pete to fire it, you know, he can use your quotes and the story's ready. I was like, all right, that's fine. And I did it. And then Pete Thamel, like a month later, before Braxton said to fire it, before anything, just dropped the bombshell, and the country went crazy. And then the local media got pissed, like the Dom Tiberis of the world and all these websites, you know, Letterman Row, 11 Tim Warriors, they're all mad at me and mad at Urban because Pete Thamel has a story and they need a quote. They want to run the story too. Right. And it's sad because Pete Thamel's working the country. These people are loyal and grind on the Ohio State beat.
Right.
And then when you give a story like that to some national guy, they feel disrespected. And not only that, they got so mad that Urban called me and fired me because he called me and said, who gave you permission to talk to Pete Thamel and to get this story out there? And I was like, whoa. He was like, you're fired. You're done. No more media for you. You're done at Ohio State. You'll never talk to a reporter again. I'm sitting here like, you gave me permission. You actually told me to talk to him. I didn't tell him to release the story. You told me to talk to him. I gave him a couple quotes like you told me to do. And then he dropped the story whenever he wanted to. And that's on you. That's not on me. But a lot of heat from the local media when that happens. And you see it again, right? Austin Ward knew about it. He even like hinted to it. And I know the Buckeye Scoop guys hinted to it. They knew about it, but they didn't drop the news because they didn't want to piss off the coaches. And then Pete Thamel kind of with his, like, I don't really give a fuck. I'm just dropping the news. Like, it's going to be huge news, so I'm going to break the story. So he broke it.
Yeah. But and Pete, how does Pete have access to everybody like that? Like, how? Like, he's just that tied in.
Yeah, he does a good job, man. He goes around.
It feels like he's everywhere at all times.
I mean, he's a young, relatable guy. He comes in town. You go out. He does a great job. Like, hey, let's go grab a couple beers. He'll do it with like the young guys on the staff. Like, he would always invite me, Tom Herman, and then it would always be like interns, GAs. Like, he wants those guys that he doesn't want to take Tony Alford out for beers. Not because
he doesn't
Tony
want coach speak, right?
Yeah, because Tony's weathered, right? He's been through it. Like, he's not going to text Pete Thamel like, hey, Quinn Ewers is transferring, right? He wouldn't do that, but some intern might, because Pete Thamel's a big name and they want to get plugged in with a connected guy. So he does a good job going around and building these connections with kind of lower level guys to get information. And he does a great job. I mean, he's like Jeremy Birmingham's another one like that, where you just, once you get to know him, you kind of become friendly with him. Like, you feel like, all right, this is a good dude. Like, I can tell him stuff and he will respect, you know, my confidence. Right.
Yep.
And keep it in confidence. But that's the media side of it. Now, this Quinn Ewers side of it is unbelievable. So the storyline really is, this is all NIL driven. Like, the minute name, image, and likeness became legal, this was the scenario you were going to face, right? Big time high school recruit comes in, doesn't play right away, right? Which is the norm. That happens almost every time, right? You look at Jack Sawyer, you look at JTT, you know, those guys played a little bit, but they aren't national household names. They aren't leading the country with 13 sacks yet.
And they're not quarterbacks.
And they're not quarterbacks, but the reality is, this kid gets $1 million in NIL deals before he even steps foot on campus. That's why he leaves high school early. That's why he comes into Ohio State halfway through training camp. No chance he was going to play, and no chance he was going to get really meaningful reps. Well, then his agent and his team, you know, this football season's over. He's been there for a full season. Well, now they're shopping him around to make more NIL deals. Well, now his value is not near what it used to be. He used to be the number one recruit that ever existed. Now he's just a backup quarterback at Ohio State. So they can't secure another $1 million. So they reapproach Quinn and say, and his family, and say, hey, listen, we're not going to, like, we're losing a lot of money sitting behind CJ Stroud right now. When you could go somewhere else and we could secure another $1 million. Right. Mm-hmm. And so immediately he jumps in a portal. Right. They had a conversation with Ryan Day. Could they guarantee that he would start and or start some games or play, you know, X amount of snaps? And Ryan's like, no, I can't guarantee that. What are you talking about? I have a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback coming back. I mean, he will be given a fair shot to win the job, but I'm not going to promise him the job. Just absurdity. Yeah. But here's where he lost me. Right. And I saw it everywhere. Right. Well, we wish him the best. We wish, you know, just like Joe Burrow, just like Jameson Williams, we wish him the best. No. We don't wish him the best. And if you wish him the best, you're just doing the political correct thing. And fuck that. That's the opposite of my fibers, of my soul. This kid announced he was transferring. Imagine what that does to his position coach, right? I've had kids transfer. Trayvon Grimes transferred. When that happens, you are nonstop on the phone with the head coach, on the phone with his parents. Like, you're for 24 hours, like, trying to stop it, trying to see if you can come up with a solution. Like,
right.
You go meet with the kid, you have a meeting at the facility, like, nonstop, just grind to try to, you know, fix the situation. This kid decides to announce it mere 12 hours after his position coach, Corey Dennis, had his new baby girl. So congrats to Corey Dennis and Nikki congrats, Dennis, for having their baby girl. But this selfish piece of shit, this fucking douchebag, couldn't wait a day or two to announce he was transferring. I get it. He wants to go make $1 million with his stupid little fucking mullet, but you don't do that to somebody. That man just had a child with his family, and you're going to announce that you're transferring that day? What, you didn't know your coach was having a kid? It's fucking absurd. So I wish him anything but the best. I hope he is a fucking spoiled little bitch and fails in college and doesn't succeed, because that's a selfish coward. That's what it is. And I'll call it what it is. He's making $1 million. He's a grown ass man now. 18, 19, doesn't matter. Millionaire. You're a selfish prick, and I hope you don't play wherever you go.
That boy is a millionaire. Yeah, but first of all, the timing, it comes across as hyper selfish. Second of all, it doesn't come across as really smart. Why wouldn't you want to go through bowl prep and then transfer and then go through the spring? Well, like, transferring now is cutting practice out, right?
Yeah, it is. But I mean, ultimately, I think he needs to get to wherever he's going to go. And depending on when their semester starts, I mean, you go to a bowl game January 1st and then get back January 2nd, and then you got to be there January 5th or whatever the timeline is.
Man, deadlines don't apply to Quinn Ewers. He came in the middle of the semester, Zach.
Yeah, but he did. He came in the middle in the middle of August before the fall semester. But you got to get enrolled in classes wherever you're going to go. Yeah. So wherever he thinks he's going to play, he's got to go, and he's got to go now, or he's got to get ready to go now. And also, what are you going to do at the Rose Bowl, right? You're transferring. I'm sure he told some people he was going to transfer. Then you just become a distraction and almost cancerous to the team. So, I mean, I respect the fact that he just made the decision and wanted to go. I don't respect the timing, and I think it was selfish as shit. This is all about money, and this is the problem with NIL, right? With no guidelines. I mean, honestly, you're going to let these kids make $1 million, right? And I get it. It's not – they say, well, it can't be pay to play. Motherfucker, it is pay to play. If a kid's not playing, he ain't going to get paid. Maybe the next year he's not going to, but this kid left because he's not playing enough to get paid what he wants to get paid. So it is pay to play. They just can't put in there, you have to start to make this $1 million. They just won't re-sign you the next year if you don't make them, you know, if you're not starting and not giving them the publicity they're looking for. That's a shitload of money to spend on advertising and marketing, $1 million. Not only that, the other question I had, which I got the answer to, but he just got a big ass truck from Rick Riker.
Fat truck.
And he was like, where's that truck going?
He was in that commercial, and its first time airing was during the Big Ten title game, which I'm sure that was planned, thinking that Ohio State would be in it. And there's Quinn Ewers, you know. So the one pass he threw in Columbus was a pick to Seven Banks, and it was that tennis ball.
It was some creamer. I thought it was creamer.
Oh, creamer, whatever the hell it was.
He threw creamer, and Seven Banks picked him off. That's two things we didn't get to see this year. Seven Banks play elite corner play, and Quinn Ewers throw a pass. We didn't get to see either this year. But Rick Reichert's office got it done. I mean, we need to hire Rick Reichert to run the defense, because he developed Seven Banks in that commercial more than anybody did at Ohio State.
He nailed it. And DeJuan was pushing trucks, was looking real aggressive, was looking tough for once. So where's that truck going, dog?
So it's a rental. It's essentially it's like a dealer car for a coach, which we used to have. Ohio State was the only place that didn't have it. Usually when you coach, you get hired, they just hand you a car, right? They have
that's how the University of Akron is.
Yeah. I mean, they have a local dealership. I mean, probably several, especially in Columbus. I don't know because they had already disbanded the program, but they got, you know, a handful of dealerships that just give really nice cars to the coaching staff and you use them for 6 months, a year. Then you trade it in, get a new one, and they just keep swapping them out and you don't pay anything. It's just your car. You just use it. But if you leave Ohio State, you don't take it with you. Right. Mm-hmm. But they got rid of it because Maurice Clarett and these players were, you know, working with these dealers, driving these cars illegally. And so when everything happened with Tattoo Gate and all that, they just disband any type of, you know,
compensation.
Yeah. Booster or, you know, automotive dealership connection with Ohio State. They ended up just saying, all right, screw that. We're just going to give you $600 a month for a car payment, right? A stipend. They just gave you a stipend. So it was the first time I ever, I bought a car when I was 19, just an old piece of junk. But it was the first time I bought a car, you know, since I was an adult, was when I got to Ohio State. And I was like, what do I got to do? I got to go buy a car. Like I had to go to dealerships and actually buy a car, which for a football coach, that's usually not, you just show up and they give you a key and you're like, all right, this is my car now. But yeah, I had to buy a car because Ohio State got rid of those dealerships. But
I want to talk about Quinn Ewers, the player, for a quick second. So to me, at least, this is the first case. And I feel like we will see more of a career getting off to a rougher start, like a supremely talented kid getting a career off to a rougher start because of the greed factor with NIL. Now, I think that at the end of the day, shouldn't someone that's that talented bet on themselves? Because the million here, like in the beginning, the million next year should dwarf to the comparison of the millions you think you're going to get once you get to the league, Zach.
Well, it's poor business advice is what it is. And it's business advice from an agent that wants to make a percentage now. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm sure whoever his high school agent is, you know, this NIL agent, that guy's not going to be his NFL agent. So that guy's probably not going to make the percentage off of let's say he goes in the third round or something. He's going to make $8 million, $10 million. Like that's a lot more money than $1 million a year. Right. And that agent's probably not going to get the cut of that. So they want to make the money now, you know, selfishly. And obviously you can't predict the future perfectly. So he could still go to Texas Tech, keep that $1 million a year salary and still become a first round pick. It's just less likely without Ryan Day and a program like Ohio State developing him, right? It's possible. We see Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, you could be a first rounder from Texas Tech. You could be a first rounder from North Dakota State. You could be a first rounder from anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. At the court, like this kid from Liberty, right? You could be a first rounder from anywhere, but it's just more likely if you're with Ryan Day or Nick Saban or Lincoln Riley, right? It's just more likely because they have expertise at developing first round talent more so than a guy at Texas Tech most of the time.
And if you're a supremely talented cat, you would want to be around those guys. I mean, obviously we saw Justin Fields was the closest recruit on the composite score that we've had to a guy like Quinn Ewers. And we saw how quickly Ryan Day was able to develop him once he got away from Kirby Smart. But I am worried about Quinn Ewers now more than ever, because if he is super tied up in the NIL stuff, I mean, you and I have talked about it. College football is such an incredible grind, and it's hard enough as is for a quarterback, for a guy who left high school a year early. Now, all of a sudden, the pressure's on because, like Tate Martell said, you can't swing and miss twice.
No, you can't. Swing and miss three times and you strike out like Tate did. I mean,
exactly.
That's just the reality of that position, right? There's not multiple quarterbacks that play. I mean, you got to be the guy. And so if he makes a wrong decision here, he goes to Texas and so Steve Sarkisian has a guy that, you know, he's developing loves. He could be on the bench at Texas. So I think that's why he's going to lean more Texas Tech or TCU, somewhere where there's a high likelihood that there's going to be nobody on that roster that can even compete with him. And then he's on the field, right? And then at least he's playing. He can at least reap all that kombucha bucks and continue to go. So this is college football. This is the future of college football. And because the NCAA rolled out NIL with literally the only stipulation they made is the school can't pay you, right? And in the contracts with these companies, it cannot be pay to play, meaning it cannot be compensated for anything having to do with playing on the field.
Yeah, you can't get NFL style bonuses if you hit.
Yeah, you can't get sacks. Stat bonuses. You can't get awards bonuses. You can't get player of the week. You can't get anything. Nothing can be tied to your performance on the field. But we know that your attractiveness to these companies to represent them and for them to pay you is certainly based on what you do on the field, right? Mm-hmm. Just because you're a great dude that's funny and talks well doesn't mean you're going to get a $1 million deal. You got to ball. And if you're not playing, you can't ball, right? Right. Simple as that. But yeah, selfish decision.
The Ohio State quarterback room, Zach, went from a strength a week ago to now teetering on almost weakness or kind of just an average room, above average room. Where are you at with the Ohio State quarterback room?
It's the same room. I don't know what you mean. Jack Miller was never going to play. Quinn Ewers wasn't going to play or compete until next fall. So it's the same room going to the Rose Bowl, right? It's CJ Stroud and Kyle McCord. That's what it's been all year. It's never been more than that. Quinn Ewers saw the field to hand off two snaps just to try to keep him happy, which didn't work.
Yeah. For those who were at the tailgate, me and Zach had a bet on what he get in the game? Would he throw a pass? I thought for sure he was going to get in there and do something.
He did something. He handed it off twice. But yeah, so it's the same room. And now they got this kid committed, this four-star kid out of
Utah.
Yeah. Utah. Is that where he's from? Mm-hmm.
He was originally from California, plays high school ball in Utah, was committed to USC, then decommitted. And high school coach Joe Germain, I believe. And now he's
I know that name, but he also works with a guy named Rudy Carpenter. If you don't know him, was a college and NFL quarterback who's a awesome dude and a really good football coach. So, I heard a lot about this kid from Rudy and from some other people out west. But anyways, so it went from a strength to a strength. I mean, they still have a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback coming back. You'd like to think the failures this year with an offseason program kind of revamped and fine-tuned from Mickey Marotti should get CJ Stroud to really grow and take that step and become a badass, right?
I need to be an alpha male. I need CJ Stroud to become an alpha male.
And I'm going
to
tell you, if Mickey Marotti's great, I mean, the best in the world at one thing, it's once a season like this happens, right? And I'm not even saying for the team. I just mean a kid, right? Like a kid has an average year, decent year, great year. Doesn't matter. That he is great at identifying, like, what does this kid need to do to take the next step when it comes to, like you said, being an alpha. Like the whole offseason will be centered around that kid leading the team in workouts, that kid leading a small group in agilities and speed drills. That kid will be put in front of the team. He will be forced. His hand will be forced to become an alpha, like you said. And that's what I have no doubt that will happen next year. And so for all the CJ Stroud slander, if you want to call it that I have spewed this season, it's not slander. It is just, you know, identifying weaknesses and talking about them because everyone else in Columbus just wants to suck the kid off.
Yeah. It's an observation.
Yeah. It's an observation. And with the hopes that it improves, it gets fixed, whatever it is, so that then this kid can win the Heisman Trophy next year, right? And Ohio State can win a national championship next year. Because the way he plays right now, those two things are going to be just out of grasp, in my opinion.
So you took a lot of heat on Twitter this weekend for making a comment about CJ Stroud's heart. And I want to come to your defense real quick, not just because you're the boss, but because I think anyone with eyes can kind of recognize what you're trying to say. So CJ Stroud this year is the same age and the same year as Justin Fields was his first year when we played Michigan, and we obviously lost to Clemson that year. Yeah. There is a noticeable difference in the type of person those two are. Yeah. See, one is an alpha when he got to campus. You know, he'd been, you know, he sat a year behind Jake Fromm, came to Ohio State, got to campus, and all you heard was alpha male type things. He wanted to win every race. He wanted to outwork everybody. When he got hit, almost like, you know, got red dots in the eyes and pushed even harder. He took the hit against Michigan, hyperextended his knee, took one playoff, came back out, the look in his eyes, went out there and threw a dime. Like that is the heart, that is the alpha, that is the warrior that we would like to see from CJ Stroud. Now, is it fair to compare CJ to Justin Fields? No, but you're the Ohio State quarterback, so nothing's fucking fair.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. This is not a fair game, right?
Exactly.
You're getting compared to Justin Fields because that's the bar. That's the standard, right?
And he was the same age. I don't want to hear, CJ's this freshman, blah, blah, blah. No, no. Same age. They both sat behind a quarterback, and then they both came in.
Yeah. There's no doubt. And you know, I take heat on Twitter when I'm honest about the Buckeyes and it's not positive, which I don't care. I mean, the whole point of this platform is to be raw and real. That's the word, real, right? And so the kid deserves some criticism. He does, because he's a quarterback at Ohio State, and that comes with the territory. No different than a coach, no different than a receiver that drops a ball. You know, it's the same thing across the board. This is big time football, and you're getting paid a lot of money nowadays. So the criticism is all fair game. And it comes from a place where, you know, I want to see it I want to see it improve and fix, and I want to see Ohio State do what Alabama's doing right now, right? And obviously, I mean, that is the goal.
Read Ohio State fans that are upset with us for criticizing CJ Stroud. Go read what Georgia fans are saying about Stenson Bennett. Go read it. Just go take a trip to a dog's board. Go have fun and go see. And you'll see that we are way lighter on CJ. We both think he's supremely talented. We both think he's going to be a top 15 pick. But at the end of the day, to win a championship, you need warriors. You need Joe Burrow types. You need Justin Field types. You need warriors and alpha males.
There's no doubt. And I think the whole conversation, and I still stick by my analysis and my evaluation that you watch that game, that Alabama-Georgia game. Bryce Young is a baller. Just a baller. And that's the difference between him and CJ Stroud. CJ is a better passer. He's a better thrower. You watch him throw the ball. You see the throws he makes. You look, study his analytics, study his field chart, where he completes balls, how ball successful placement. He is.
It looks pretty.
Better passer than Bryce Young. He is the best passer in the country. He's better than Kenny Pickett. He's better than Bryce Young, way better than Matt Corral. I mean, you go through the list. He's the best passer in the country. But that doesn't mean he's the best player. Or he just doesn't have that baller to him, right? He doesn't have that fire that he doesn't run around. He doesn't make plays. He throws the ball and plays timid, in my opinion. That's what I see on film. But Bryce Young, my gosh, you talk about a Heisman moment. That kid was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was absolutely lights out and also phenomenal. Guys, we weren't going to make it through the show without saying Jameson Williams locked up the Blinnikoff. It's done.
Locked it up.
It's over. Locked it up. Like, that's a super mega lock. And one thing about CJ Stroud is, he throws a really pretty ball, but he's not a warrior. So sometimes, because people are going to come back to us and throw stats in our face. Okay, great. Fantastic. Those same people are the ones that are telling us that he has the three best receivers on the planet playing for him. So at some point you got to wonder, is CJ Stroud getting in the backpacks of that offense, of that receiver, or is he putting the backpack on himself and carrying? Yeah. And I think that's the part where toughness and being an alpha male and all that comes about, because I think that if Kyle McCord got all the first team reps and played the full season, his numbers might not be as good as CJ Stroud, but they'll be pretty damn close. They just would be. I mean, it's right now the quarterback at Ohio State is becoming plug and play for the ultra talented guys they are recruiting. And so that doesn't mean that someone's free of criticism. Everyone can get criticized. And if you're not a warrior and if you're timid, that's going to happen. Because, I mean, me and you have seen warriors across the country go play. Like the guys you mentioned that don't throw as good of a ball, they're still that extra level of edge on less talented teams. Like Kenny Pickett is not nearly as talented. Pitt is not nearly as talented. But Kenny Pickett gives off he's older, but that warrior, kind of that dog, he's going to go get his. And if they're going to lose a game, it's not going to be because of his willpower.
No, it's swagger. It's having that swagger, right? Having that swagger on the field. And that's the biggest thing you see from some of these kids, like Kenny Pickett with his fake slide scramble. I mean, one stud, just
superstar
goat move, but also should be absolutely 100% illegal. Super. I mean, he's at least should be down when he starts to slide, because if you slide, that's when you're down, when you start to slide. Right. So if you start to slide and don't slide, you still should be down. But even more so, that's utilizing dangerous. A rule meant to protect you. And you should be penalized for that, in my opinion. That'd be like a guy going to take out your legs and you just like dive down and helmet to helmet him, so he gets ejected. It's like, wait a minute. Yeah. The point of this rule is to protect you. If you're going to use that against us, then there should be a counterpart or a counter penalty to make sure kids don't do that, because that's just absurd.
Right. It's almost like the flop should be, like flopping should be a penalty. It kind of falls in that kind of same realm. Honestly, Zach, if it was someone that was of normal college age and not someone who's 28 or whatever, I know Kenny's not 28, they probably would have called something. But only Kenny Pickett can do it. Give him the Heisman. I don't care.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a Heisman moment. You want to see a Heisman moment? That's a Heisman moment.
But a great win for Pitt. Win the ACC. Good for Pat Narduzzi, who I think is a phenomenal football coach. And obviously I will get into the deep dive into those games on tomorrow's main show, but just a great weekend of college football. We got the college football playoff set. It's exactly what I assumed they would do, which was they would not put Michigan at one, because they don't want that Alabama Georgia rematch. They want to try to have an all SEC national championship. Anybody that tells you otherwise, I watched ESPN, Joey Galloway and Kirk Herbstreit are talking about, no, this is, people that say that, that is not how it works. Like they rank the people, the teams where they need to be ranked, and then the matchups fall as they see fit. And it's like, yeah, bullshit. All right. Michigan just beat Ohio State, dismantled Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. They look like the best team in the country. I get it. Alabama looks great and beat Georgia, but Michigan should be number one right now, but it's neither here nor there. This is what we knew they would do. So now we get Alabama, Cincinnati in the Orange Bowl, and Michigan, Georgia in the Cotton Bowl. And I think both are extremely, extremely good matchups. I think both have a high likelihood that we have an all SEC national championship. And I think the biggest question right now that I've seen on social media is, do Buckeye fans root for Michigan for the brand, right? For the Midwest football brand to at least make the national championship and then maybe lose, or can you just not do it?
I mean, it'll be cool to see Cincy and Michigan in a national title, but you know, we talked about that matchup, you know, going back a couple weeks, just so everyone's clear, we did talk about that matchup.
Yeah.
We'll see. I do want to talk with some coaching stuff, Zach, because the coaching it's crazy as always. You know, there was that ominous tweet by Berm about, you know, for the people that don't think we should pay Ryan Day, I hope you guys like what's next, or I hope you guys are happy with what's next. That was pretty ominous. We put our tweet out, obviously, too. And then, you know, BV, good old Brent Venables, going to OU. Oklahoma.
Yeah. Crazy.
Crazy. That's like another, you know, that's obviously that's a
huge move, because Brent Venables has been the highest paid assistant in college football. Right. And he's been offered countless job after job after job. And then Oklahoma was the right fit for him. And it's just, if you're a great coordinator, that's how you do it. How Brent Venables just did it. That's how you do it. Right. Like Ryan Day is another one, right? Ryan Day, you know, had a fast rise once he got to Ohio State. He was already in the NFL. He was already a well-known guy, but he got to Ohio State, took over as the coordinator, had success. A lot of people, there was a buzz about him amongst the coaching community. And then Mississippi State walks in and offers him the head coaching job. I mean, you're talking about an SEC head coaching job, your first head coaching job. Yeah. And he turned it down. He turned it down to stay in Columbus and be the offensive coordinator because it wasn't the right fit for him. And I mean, there was a number of other reasons. I mean, he had moved his family 4 times in 3 years, essentially, and he didn't want to do it 5 times in 4 years. So he stayed another year, and look at what happened, right? The right fit came along, obviously. I mean, this the perfect fit. And one of the top, you know, maybe the top job in the country, if not definitely a top 5 job. So that's the way to do it. How Venables did it. And now he's, you know, on a private jet. Toma, this hat's for Venny. That fits for Venny. Boomer. he's coming to Sooner Nation to rescue the program. So great hire by Oklahoma. Rescue. We'll see how he is as a head coach, because coordinators don't always translate to great head coaches. But I really like Brent Venables. I've talked about him for 3 years on the show about how good he is at what he does. But he replaces Lincoln Riley, and there is a rumor that I have about Lincoln Riley that came from people deep rooted within that program.
Oh,
and I'm going to tell you the rumor. Now, keep in mind, this is a rumor, right? I don't know if it's true. So I'm going to leave the names out of it.
This is the rumor mill section, because I have a rumor about BV also. So
okay, we'll get to your rumor in a minute, because I got a good one for you. So the rumor is coming out of Oklahoma that Lincoln Riley had an affair with one of his one of the girls who runs his recruiting department. And his that's part of the reason he left, right? And because his wife wanted him to fire her, but if he did, you know, he gets slapped with sexual harassment, all kinds of stuff. So he took the USC job. But now, in a strong arm of leverage and kind of blackmailing, she wanted to go with him, the mistress. And so he's caught between a rock and a hard place, because he kind of has to take her, right? Yeah. He kind of has to meet her demands. And so we'll see. I heard yesterday that her office is already cleaned out at Oklahoma. She's no longer there, and she's going to USC, and her husband might be on the staff. You hear this shit? Wild rumors. Now, again, I don't know them, and I don't know for sure that it's true, but there's some people pretty tied into Oklahoma that are talking about it. It's one of those things that there's a buzz. And I've talked about it before. The coaching world, this doesn't surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, this stuff is so common, especially recruiting girls and coaches. And despite what you read on the internet, that is one thing I never did. I never hooked up with a girl that was on staff at Ohio State. Now, in Florida, I did, but I was a young, you know, just a young intern. GA. So, but it happens like crazy. Some of the stories about Bama and the recruiting girls with all the coaches. I mean, each coach would have a girl. I mean, it's just wild stories. Completely wild.
We saw during the SEC title game. Dan Lanning with the cheerleader jumping into his arms and pointing at the camera. She was like,
oh. On TV. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Dan Lanning, like after they win the SEC championship game, goes over and the cheerleader like jumps up and he picks her up and hugs her. He's like, bro, swings her around. There are cameras everywhere. What are you doing?
He sees the camera, points at the camera, and she like gets all scared and runs away.
Just wild.
My rumor's not as good as yours. I just, just heard about, BV likes his women as well. It's all, but it's the coaching world. So yeah,
it is the coaching world. It's a wild world. You get guys on the road recruiting, have a lot of money, have an impressive job to girls or women, I guess you should say, not girls.
Yeah.
But a lot of time, much younger women. And it happens. It happens. Yeah. I've been on the road with a very prominent coach, and we were down in Florida, and he was like, we got to go to this. Let's go to this other spot and grab a beer. I was like, all right, work day's over. I'll go. We go over there, and he's got this side chick waitress that is like 22 years old and is an older fat guy. I'm like, what the hell? How is this going on right now? And he had a condo where we were recruiting, and so he would just take her back there, knock it out, and get back on the plane and go fly to the next city. And it's so common. It is. I'm telling you, if they ever did a deep dive 30 for 30, people would be jaw dropped. Like, whoa, this is wild. I used to say spring recruiting is like spring break for grownups. I mean, you go out to these cities, you recruit schools during the day, go to practices in the afternoon and early evening, and then people just go out, all these coaches. I mean, it's not as stressful as December recruiting when you're trying to fill the class. I mean, you grind for a good 10 hours, and then, coaches spring break, basically.
Work hard, play hard, right?
Yeah, they do. They do both, that's for sure.
Oh, brother.
That's all I got today. Really excited to break down these championship games and talk about them tomorrow. Also, the squares going to be paid out today. We already paid out Friday's winners, but Saturday's winners, I got to go through and pay those out today. So a bunch of people making money. The good news is if you buy a square, all you got to do is hit one quarter and you at least make your money back, right? And if you hit a halftime, you make money. You hit a final score, you triple your money. So if you're interested, 16 squares left, Venmo Cameron Media or just email me, Zach@Menace2Sports. And going to keep raising money, man. 70 grand raised. Going to announce here in probably late December, Christmas time, kind of going to announce some of our plans. It's going to obviously, first and foremost, we're going to scholarship probably at least 5 kids this winter for elite training over at +2 University with Eric Lichter, and just trying to develop Columbus City schools, and not just Columbus City schools, really anywhere with the kids don't have the means to afford this high level training. And this is going to go deeper than just lifting and running and jumping. I mean, we're going to do academic things. You're going to have to have grades. If you don't have above a 3.0, we're not going to scholarship you. And if there's a reason why you don't, we're going to help you get access to a tutor. Like, let's say you're not good at math, can't conceptualize it. That's why you got a D. Well, we're going to try to help fix that. It's going to be a lot like, a lot like college football coaches. I mean,
with some mentorship in there. I mean, you're going to have access to a lot of people, we're going to be checking in on you, and it's going to be a real grind. We're going to make sure that you are taken care of and that you are working to take care of yourself as well.
Yeah, that's it. So really excited about it. Hit me up with any, if you want any more info about it. I know a lot of people that listen to the show have already donated, but if you want to just donate, if you don't want to play squares, you just want to have a donation. It's almost the end of the year, so you need that tax write-off. Go ahead and email me and I'll get you the W-9, the EIN number. I'll get you all the information and you can donate to it, to the Earl and Gene Bruce charitable benefits going into the Zone 6 fund. And let's go change some lives, man. That's my goal. Let's go change some lives. And honestly, let's get Columbus's level of football up. Like, let's get the city of Columbus to compete with Cincinnati and Cleveland. Let's improve the 614. That's my goal. That's what I'm here to do. So excited about it. Appreciate everyone tuning in. Until tomorrow, Menace out.
Menace out.
Menace Nation, it's Menace morning time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on egg today.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma put up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot.
I'm coming in.